Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Sambo Slim. That's Sambo Slim, Sambo_Slim on Twitter. And you are listening to the Sambo Slim podcast. And I have two people with me. I've got Ramrod back again for what, like third or fourth time, and the lovely Mel. What's your Twitter handle?
At 12 Ramrod.
And Mel?
Mine's at MLovesU28.
All right, so that was easier when I introduced y'all.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
We need you.
This is our the fourth time.
This is our second take. It took us like the last time about 10 minutes just for them to. It happens every time, and we don't usually start over. I'm just like, you're going to introduce yourselves or what? And then you're like, I'm Ramrod. What's your Twitter name?
That's my Twitter name, yeah.
So, yeah, we're here. We've got three people in studio. Let me get my promos and shout-outs out real quick out of the way. You can go to the SamboSlimPodcast.com to listen to the show. You can also listen to it on iTunes. You probably know that because you are listening. But also, there's an Amazon banner on my website. You click on that Amazon banner next time you're looking to go shopping online and buy something, and Amazon kicks a little money back to the show. There's also a donation button. Any money that's donated to the Sambo Slim podcast, 50% of that goes to progeria research. So just keep that in mind to those of you who donate. Also, there's another podcast that you can listen to that's under the FYM Radio umbrella. It's called The Beatdown. A lot of you have already heard of it before, and that's hosted by my boys, Uncle Fester and The Brain, and they are at UNCLFESTR. That's Uncle Fester on Twitter. And The Brain is at Beatdown Brain. And on my website, if you go to the right, you'll see the Beatdown logo. It's red and black, got a little yellow face. Click on that, and you can also listen to the Beatdown from my website. You can also play video games there. And we're adding some updates. I'm going to add a Mr. Swearword's got a blog, like an entertainment blog. I'm going to add that to the website and a couple of other cool things. It's going to have a new look. We're going to do some sports writing, more entertainment things. Hopefully I can get some maybe video game bloggers and things like that. But we got more updates coming because we'd like to give you more reasons to come back to our website and buy stuff from Amazon. That's what it's all about. The whole point of this podcast is for Ramrod to be able to quit his job.
Yes, I'm waiting. Yeah. I had to work today, and it's Saturday.
I'm a full-time student. I don't want to get a job when I graduate. So that's one reason is I don't want to get a job. That's one reason we're doing this. But the other reason is so Ramrod can quit. Because
yes,
he doesn't like his job.
I don't like my job, and I want to quit. So the more shit you buy, the better I'll be. You know, the faster I'll be able to quit.
Yeah.
So please buy a whole bunch of shit.
And Mel likes working.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's great.
She's weird. She likes to pay taxes and shit.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be legal in this group.
Because it sure as shit isn't me. We've been drinking for a few hours. I hope everyone enjoyed the podcast.
So that's our show for the night? No.
Yeah, see you guys next time. That was episode, I think this is episode 23. But
oh,
seriously.
Is this like a Jordan special?
Is it? Oh, uh-huh. I just got that. Yeah. Guess we can get into topics now since we're not talking about anything else. Well, before we do that, anything on either of your minds?
No. Yes, we have a list of things.
I know we do, but that's why I said before we do that. No?
No, we're good.
Nothing's on your minds?
Well, we supposed to...
Okay.
I don't get it.
Just if you had something to bitch about or you had an experience you want to talk about, you know? Sometimes I just like to start talking about something like that irked me at the store or something like that. You know what I can talk about real quick? How do shit bags like, I'm trying not to cuss that much anymore. So.
Oh, you're not? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then I guess maybe I'll try to. I cuss a lot.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm trying to find creative words to use instead of swear words. But I was in traffic court the other day, and I went to go pay a ticket.
You actually went to court?
Yeah.
You know you can handle that online, right?
Well, you can, but if you're just going to pay the ticket, I didn't want to pay the ticket. So I tried to get out. I went in front of a judge and tried to get it reduced.
Reduced to what? I thought that was as low as you can go is a traffic ticket.
Yeah, but to get not pay it.
Oh.
Or at least pay only a portion of it, which they did. They reduced it. You just go in front of the judge, and then he's like, "Why are you here?" And you say, "I just wanted to see if there's anything we can do about this. Like maybe waive it, hopefully, but if not, reduce the charges." And he reduced them.
What did he reduce it to? Reduced the pay.
A lot. I don't know. He reduced it like 2/3, like all the way down. So it's not that big of a deal. It went from like a $350 ticket down to like $100 and something. So, yeah, it was worth it.
I wish they would do that like in felony court.
Yeah. You
know, just get it reduced. I wouldn't have done 12 and a half years in prison. Though. Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed there that there are a lot of, there's like a whole sector of people that really don't give a rat's ass. Like they do not give a rat's ass. And I don't see how you can be that type of person. Like I said, I went in front of the judge. And first of all, you know, have you been to traffic court lately?
Yes. Well, I've been once since I've been home.
Do you go dressed up?
Do I? Yeah, I went.
But you seen...
I mean, well, not like in a suit and tie.
No, but presentable.
But I went presentable.
Okay, court, so do I. Yeah.
Right, yeah, so did I. And I wore like a polo shirt and nice jeans and some nice shoes. But, you know, I'm sitting there in court... First of all, and I'm looking at all the trash that's around, like trash, like bottom feeders.
First of all, that's on our side of town.
No, that's it's, if you go to court, I think it's like that everywhere. But and I'm sitting and I'm looking around and I'm judging people, and this dude, like he's just wearing sweatpants in a muscle shirt. He's about to go in front of a judge, you know, yeah. And you go around and you're just judging it. The lady with the baby crying in court, like you couldn't find somebody to watch your kid. And I'm like, these people are just the lowest of the low, man. I can't believe this. And then, you know, but then suddenly I realize I'm one of these people. Like I'm here. So who am I to judge? So already my self-esteem is low at that point. So now I realize that I am riffraff, you know, because I'm there. It doesn't matter what I accomplished before I walked through that door or who I was. I'm one of them now. I'm sitting in the courtroom with them. I am a bottom-feeding piece of trash just like they are, right? So who am I to judge?
Yeah.
But you know, I had the self-awareness to realize that. A lot of these people, they don't have that. And so to top it off, you know, not only are we all bottom feeders in this room, but some of them actually, when they go in front of they don't care. Like they go in front of the judge and they're yelling and they're challenging him. How do you do that? Like, are you that? You're not that kind of guy, right?
Well, I don't mind challenging somebody in a respectful way. I mean, it's a judge. Like,
yes.
But I'm not going to let. Like if I was in the right, like I mean, if I had a speeding ticket and I know I had a, you know,
yes.
I mean that's different. I mean I know I did wrong.
So, yeah,
yeah. But because the one time I went,
yeah,
that's basically what I said too when I got there was like, you know, well, I was just wondering. I don't want this to go on my record. Is there anything we can do, like respectful and nice? And he gave me two options and I picked one of the options. And
yeah,
he let me choose.
That sounds like a norm. Yeah,
yeah, and be reasonable. Let's say I have been to court for something I didn't do. And when I got in front of the judge, I didn't yell. I was respectful. And he said, I got arrested, actually. I was in magistrate, and I spent the night in jail waiting to see the judge. for something I didn't do, right? So I get in front of the judge. Well, I was never told why I was being arrested. No one ever told me. So I'm sitting there. I got in processed and everything. I'm spending the night in jail, and I'm in the cell with criminals, and I'm waiting to see a judge, and I don't know why. And I get in front of the judge, and that's more than enough reason to yell, right? At the judge. Yeah. And he asks what's going on, and I just say, you know, sir, he goes, so what are you in here for? He's flipping through his papers or whatever, I don't remember, papers or a computer or whatever. And I said, you know, sir, that's a good question. I don't even know why I'm in here. I still haven't been told why I was arrested. You know, so it was handled that way. I didn't yell. But these people are walking up there in sweatpants, like holding a kid. Their hair's not combed. They're wearing house shoes. And they go up there and they're yelling at the judge. Like, I was not, like, one guy made up a whole lie. Like, where do these people have these kind of balls? Like, I'm the type, I will speak up if I feel like you're in the wrong. I'll speak up, but in court, and you're wearing fucking sweatpants, and you're going to stand in front of the judge, and you're going to talk down to him like he's the piece of shit. First of all, he didn't pull you over, but I mean, but besides all that, you're in court in front of a judge. There's a bailiff standing right there that can arrest you. And this one guy, he comes up, and man, he's the lowest of the low, man. And he walks up there, and he looks right at the judge, and he tells him that. He's got like five charges. None of them are him. His identity was stolen. So whoever this person was got pulled over multiple times with all of his information, apparently in his car, like his license plate, and then failed to show up to court like three times. It wasn't him. Somebody stole his identity. And his proof was he has a police report that states that he called the police and told them someone stole his identity, so they're investigating it.
So what happened?
Well,
he got found out guilty.
The thing is, here, this is what makes it even worse. We were told about 10 times before we went into that courtroom that if you are pleading not guilty, you go to the a different courtroom.
Yeah.
These assholes still went into that courtroom and yelled at the judge. They said, these are only for guilty and no contest. That's when you come into this, they told us like 10 times. We went and sat down. They told us again. And they, dude, I don't know what happens. They just don't give a rat's ass. They don't give a rat's ass, right? This guy even turned it around on the judge. he flipped the script on him, man. He like pointed. He was wagging his finger at him. He goes, and you know, I'm standing here in court amongst you and these officers of the law here, and we're supposed to be fighting against identity theft. But the way it feels right now feels like you're condoning identity theft.
Oh, my God.
He flipped the script on him, man. It was interesting. And again, I mean, I'm just telling you what's going on. I realize I'm just, for being there at the same time he is, I'm every bit of as much of a dirtbag as he is.
Did you tell him what happened when you walked in?
Oh, yeah. So you know, he didn't give a rat's ass, and a lot of other people that were yelling at the judge and dressed like shit didn't give a rat's ass. You know who else didn't give a rat's ass? The security. When I was going through the metal detector, this big, fat, black security guard, as soon as I walk in, like I'm putting all my stuff in the thing, and, you know, I mind my own business, you know, and I'm going through, and then he walks up, and he, like, gets the attention of the other security guys, but they're constables.
Yeah.
And he like points at me, and like right in front of me, he's right in front of me, and he gets the other guys, and he looks right at me, and he goes, Slim Shady. and then like looks, and they all start laughing all hard.
That's sounding it.
I didn't say anything. I didn't even smile. I just turned around and got my stuff and went into the courtroom.
He wasn't sure if that was a compliment or...
I don't know what he's... I mean, yeah, I was like, what do you even say to that? I'm not even white. Slim Shady? I don't even look like fucking Eminem.
Oh, man. But did they at least check your stuff to make sure you didn't have, like, any fucking...
They ran illegal
stuff, like, going in there?
They ran all my stuff through. But I think they thought I was going to start laughing, but I didn't. Because I don't know what to say to that. Like, I just stayed serious looking at them, like, okay. And then when I did that, it made them uncomfortable, and they stopped laughing. And then they got all normal, like, you got anything metal on you? It's like, no, I just might. And then they pretended like it never happened. That was weird, man.
Well, I'm sure it gets pretty boring and dull in there.
Yeah.
You know, they're just trying to liven up their day.
You know, they probably, when people come in, they probably have a thing going where they're like, he looks like this celebrity, she looks like this celebrity. And he thinks,
oh, yeah.
And so he thought I was Slim Shady. Like, did I look like Slim Shady?
He's way off.
They knew, like, if they were to say something to the guy in the jogging pants, in the sweatpants,
he'll do something.
That they would do something. And then they see a guy dressed up real nice coming in, and they felt like, oh, finally, we get to fucking talk shit, and nobody's going to say nothing.
Yeah, probably,
and
right?
You like, just do it. Oh, you know, hey, fucking Slim Shady. But yeah, it didn't turn out the way they planned, of course, but, you know.
They're like, it kind of did because I didn't do anything about it.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, this is, yeah.
Because they couldn't tell the chick with the kid or the guy in the sweatpants because you know they're going to talk shit back.
Or crazy identity theft guy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to talk shit back, you know, whatever. Because they don't care because they're fucking.
They don't give a rat's ass, man. They do not give a rat's ass. And he doesn't either. He kind of does because he picked on me. Because if it's for what you said, he's like, hey, this guy's a pussy. I'll call him Slim Shady.
Remember, you said that, not me. Yeah. But that's what I was thinking, though.
Yeah, that's just... what he looked around. He said, and I was the guy he knew that he could target. It's a classic case of bullying. So you ready to gay the show up?
Sure.
I know we've been talking about gay issues a lot on the show, but...
Have you? I haven't really been listening.
Yeah, it's been... Yeah. Oh. We have.
Why is that, though? I mean,
comes out in the news a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the biggest stories in the news, and quite frankly, I'm tired of the homosexual agenda.
But we're about to talk about it anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not tired of it. I like that... Well,
you like,
first of all, there is, I talked about in the last show, I explained that there is no homosexual agenda, and it's, I'll fill you in a little. I don't want to bore everybody that's been listening, but basically what my point was is there is no homosexual agenda. There is homosexuals being more accepted by society, and that's why we're seeing them more in the news, and we're seeing them more on TV. Yeah. And 20 years ago, they weren't able to be openly gay. Now they are. And now... people are becoming more open-minded and accepting them more, just like when the civil rights movement happened and segregation ended, and just like when women got the right to vote. You know, you're going to see them more in entertainment. You're going to see them more everywhere. You're going to hear them on the radio. It's just going to happen. Yeah. You know, so
it's kind of like the ass movement. All right, so check this out. So, like, a lot of black guys. Like, oh, she's got a black ass, or, you know, whatever, right? Like, they talk about the ass. Like, if they see a girl with an ass, like, oh, like, when did white girls or when did Mexican girls start getting asses? They've always had asses. It's just asses have not been, like, glorified like they are now. Before, it used to be tits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
it.
Nobody focused on the ass. But but white girls and Mexican girls had asses in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just... people didn't focus on them,
yeah.
But now they do. So, but all of a sudden, everybody's like, "Oh, when did white girls get asses, motherfucker? They've always had asses. You just never paid attention."
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Same thing, I guess. You know,
yeah, because they weren't really in style. Asses weren't in style. Like, if you watch like all these girls that were supposed to be hot in the 80s, like these actresses and stuff, and
they don't have any ass.
No, they don't. No, it, like you. I'm like, what? Like they do have big tits, yeah. But they don't have an ass. So I don't like.
And they didn't have apple bottom jeans back then. So it was like, yeah, you know, they didn't. Yeah,
it's just different, man. And they probably didn't have butt implants either.
True.
Because you know, like, yeah, a lot of these, not really walking around, but a lot of celebrity girls, like, it does look like they have implants, butt implants.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care.
I don't either. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Just yeah. Even if they tell me they had them, I don't care. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to hide it from me.
Yeah. You don't.
No. Doesn't matter. Or didn't.
I never felt one with a fake ass, so I don't. I wonder how different.
Well, you might have, and you don't know.
You're right. Yeah. I might have. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
I might have to start calling some people.
Do you have fake ass by chance? I just want to know if I felt one before. Yeah. So yeah, but we're gonna gay the show up again because it's a big topic right now. It's always on the news, and it's not because, but they use the word wrong. By the way, agenda. These idiots. They. I'm so tired of the. He's part of the homosexual agenda. I'm tired of the homosexual agenda. How are you? Do you know they don't know what an agenda is? I tweeted that one. God, dude, it was so funny. I tweeted, define agenda, you idiot. Like, you're sick of the homosexual agenda? Define agenda, idiot. Something like that. And some idiot replied with the wrong... No, but he was serious. Because I went back in his tweets to see, is he joking?
Yeah.
No, he hates gay people. Like, every other tweet has, you know, the word faggot in it.
Yeah.
And it's all negative stuff and about the homosexual agenda. And he gives me the definition, and it's wrong. And he's one of those guys that replies to your tweet like 24 hours later, and he doesn't even follow you or anything. I said, it took you 24 hours to still come up with the wrong definition, you idiot. And he never replied to me because I'm tough.
Yeah.
I fucking whooped his ass. That's basically whooping his ass, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, sure.
It is for me because I haven't been in a fight in like 10 years. So to me, that's fighting. And honestly, I really don't want to fight anyone anymore. So, like, that's as much action as I want. Like
on Twitter.
Yeah. My adrenaline. That's what gets my adrenaline going now.
Yeah, when you go off on Twitter.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, I guess that's pretty cool, I guess.
I get all charged up. Yeah. I call Melissa at work. I just fucking told some guy on Twitter, man.
He's
just
so proud. Trolled this guy.
Yeah. Fucking pussy. He didn't even reply.
And I know he's not lying either. No,
I know
he's not.
No, I'm dead serious. That's what I do. So let's gate up. Let's talk about Michael Sam. He came out of the closet.
Yeah.
He was a football player, college football player. He's arguably, the best defensive player in college right now. He'll probably go top five, maybe, as long as he's not discriminated against.
Yeah.
Top five. And you got these homosexual agenda crybabies again, saying that, why is it a big deal? Gays are accepted by society. Now, look, first of all, they're not accepted by they're accepted more than they were. They're not overall accepted, though. That's why they still don't have equal rights to it. You know, they still don't.
Yeah.
So they're not. And anyways, they're saying it's not a big deal. It shouldn't even be on the news. Yes, it should. It is a big deal. And it should be on the news. But this is what happened. He came out of the closet. And what is an even bigger deal than him just coming out of the closet he told his teammates a year ago, before he came out in public, he told his teammates, the guys that he's in the locker room with naked all the time, that he's gay. And they accepted that. And that's a big deal. That really is a big deal. And that should be on the news because that's a good example to set for locker rooms across the country. And these idiots that say that it's not a big deal and it shouldn't be on the news, like, I guess they've never been in a locker room before, right? They're just geeks. They've never played sports or they've never had like a manly type of job where, like, I mean, I started playing sports, you know, and I played football be starting in, when I was 12 and shit like that. And it's always, I've always, in one way or another, been naked around dudes in the locker room. Like,
really?
Whether it was sports, whether it was just for fun, you know, like I, like just to kill some time, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, sports, my job when I did hazmat, you have to decontaminate. So again, you're naked around dudes, you know,
band camp.
Oh, the army, you're naked around dudes all the time. Then just random guys I meet on Craigslist, you know, we're naked together a lot all the time. Yeah. You know, so I've always had to do things where I'm in a locker room,
naked,
you know?
Yeah.
The gym. I mean, you just go to the gym. Yeah. You're going to be naked around dudes in the gym if you shower at the gym. You know, so to me, it is.
And you don't even have to shower at the gym. You just do
right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I just sometimes I don't even work out. I just go to the gym and shower so I can be naked around dudes. That's how not gay I am. Like, I'll just go shower around dudes. That's how come. Like, I'm bored here showering by myself. So
with
the
door closed,
where I can shower around other dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I post on Craigslist, I'm going to be naked showering
at Gold's Gym
on, I don't know, whatever, Days of Allah or something like that. And
that's not the one he goes to, by the way. But
it's
yeah.
not, no. It's not, wink, wink. I will not be showering at the Gold's Gym on Days of Allah at 11 a.m. tomorrow. I will not. And I will not have a baby blue towel and a light green bar of soap. So do not meet me there. Do not meet me there, gentlemen, 45 years of age or older.
Yeah, those are the ones that got money, like sugar daddy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They'll pay for anything.
Hey.
Trust me, I know.
Hey, I'm a broke college student right now, so... But yeah, so it's a big deal that this guy came out of the closet, especially to his teammates. So I commend all of them, and I've seen it. Being a guy that's been in situations where I'm naked around dudes in the locker room, you know, whether it's for professional reasons or for fun, I've been naked around dudes in the locker room, and I've seen how guys react when they know one guy's gay, right? Like when I was in the military, this was in basic training. We were on a, I hate that I go, I'm trying to stop doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But we were in a basic training, and there was an openly gay, that's one thing people don't know about the military, that even during the don't ask, don't tell years, there's openly gay soldiers, and for the most part, no one fucks with them. You know, it's okay. They're openly gay. No one worries about it. But This happened because it was in basic training, so these kids really didn't understand how the Army works. The Army doesn't care if you're gay, and it never has, okay? Or as long as I was in. But there's an openly gay soldier, and he's obviously gay, and he doesn't care. You know, he talks about, like, his boyfriend and stuff. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, a whole bunch of... And you can guess what type of guys they were. I'm not going to go into detail, but you can guess what type of guys they were. You know, they probably say Jesus. You know, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Those guys. Yeah. They got in a big group and they're trying to fire everybody up. And they're like, "We're going to go talk to the drill sergeants because he shouldn't shower in the same showers that we do. We're going to go demand that they shower separately. You're going?" And I was like, "No." And they were like, "You're okay showering with him?" I said, "Yeah, it doesn't give me a boner. I don't give a shit." And so they go and they march off to go tell the drill sergeants. There's about 15 of them. And all of a sudden, the drill sergeants call a formation, and we all of us have to go out there. And basically, the drill sergeants told us that we don't give a shit what you think of him. We don't give a shit what his sexual preference is. We're all soldiers here. And whether you like it or not, you're going to shower with them. And if I find out that any one of you are treating him any different because you think you don't approve of his sexuality, all of you are going to get punished. They call it smoking. I'll smoke the shit out of all of you for hours if I catch any of you treating him any different than you treat any other soldier. And then he threw in at the end, and by the way, you're all ugly little fat fucks. Nobody's checking you out in the locker room, so get over yourselves.
Yeah.
And then he sent us all back to our fucking barracks and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then
it's always the ugly guys that think that.
Yeah, no one's checking you out.
Nobody's checking you out, dude. And what's crazy is, like, the good-looking guys, yeah. You know, not that I would know anything about that, but the good-looking guys, like, they don't care.
No.
They don't.
No.
You know?
I didn't care. Yeah,
I didn't care either. Like, I don't give a shit. You know why? Because I'm not gay.
Exactly.
So I don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me.
No. It doesn't. So what? Like, there's straight dudes that are going to see me naked, too. Like, they're exactly. Just seeing me naked.
And how do you know they're not gay?
And if you're in a locker... Like, if I was in a locker room full of girls, not all of them are going to turn me on. Like, how many hot girls would actually be in the locker room? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There might be one or two that I think are hot. And even then, I'm not going to be, like, staring at them, jerking off or anything.
Yeah.
And this country's so backwards on that. Real quick, this also reminds me, Army story. When I went on a mission on deployment with the French infantry, mm-hmm. and we went and we had to stay for one night. We stayed on one. We were gone for, like, 2 weeks, but we had to stay on their barracks for one night. And it was makeshift barracks because we're on the deployment. It's some random little camp out in the woods. But they didn't have separate, like, guys and girls can sleep in the same rooms because it's not perverted to them. They don't care. They're just, you know, because it's normal to them. It's not to us, but to them it's normal. And then their showers, I didn't know. Like, I asked some Spanish soldiers where the restrooms were, and I went, because I need to shower. I hadn't showered like in a fucking week. And so I go shower and I'm shaving in the mirror. And then I hear female voices coming toward me. And I look up in the mirror and two females, French soldiers, are walking. They like walk behind me and they don't even acknowledge me. And they walk out. And I'm a little offended because they didn't check me out, you know. But I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in the girl's shower. And I go out and I look and it doesn't say male or female in the showers. And just luckily my translator, well, I got dressed and I got dressed and I had a translator, but he was in our tent we were sleeping in. And I go to him and I'm like, I just took a shower in the women's showers by accident. And he said, no, it's the same thing. They use the same showers. So what I'm getting at is it's like, we're backwards. Like, even there, it's not a fetish or anything. Like, that you can shower. It's safe that guys and girls showered, like, in the same shower. I don't think they're not going to get in the same shower room. They're separate showers.
Yeah.
But it's all in the same, basically, locker room, you know? And nobody's raping each other. And no dudes are walking around with boners jerking off behind women or anything like that. You know, they're just more forward-thinking and more accepting. So, that's it. But you had a clip you wanted to play, so we'll close this out with a clip on some awesome
guy. This guy, his name is Dale Hansen, and he actually talked about the incident a few weeks ago on the Ellen show. Well, he actually did the clip on his talk show. He's a sports announcer or whatever, sports commentator, and he was on the Ellen show, and he was talking about it, and I think... Like, what he said, like, really hit on point as far as, like, contradicting a person's, like, contradicting yourself when you make stupid statements like, you know, oh, I have a problem with a gay guy being in the locker room or whatever, but it's okay for something else that normally you should be against, you know what I mean, or whatever. So we're going to play the clip. If you haven't heard it, it's pretty good. It's on YouTube, of course. We're going to go ahead and play it right now.
It was quite a weekend. That little dust up in Lubbock Saturday night. And then yesterday, Missouri's All-American defensive end Michael Sam, the SEC's Defensive Player of the Year and expected to be a third to fifth round pick in the NFL draft, tells the world he's gay. The best defensive player in college football's best conference, only a third to fifth round NFL pick? Really? That is shocking. And I guess that other thing is, too. Michael Sam would be the first openly gay player in the NFL, says he knows there will be problems and they've already started. Several NFL officials telling Sports Illustrated it will hurt him on draft day because a gay player wouldn't be welcome in an NFL locker room. It would be uncomfortable because that's a man's world. You beat a woman and drag her down a flight of stairs, pulling her hair out by the roots, you're the fourth guy taken in the NFL draft. You kill people while driving drunk, that guy's welcome. Players caught in hotel rooms with illegal drugs and prostitutes, we know they're welcome. Players accused of rape and pay the woman to go away. You lie to police trying to cover up a murder, we're comfortable with that. You love another man, well, now you've gone too far. It wasn't that long ago when we were being told that black players couldn't play in our games because it would be uncomfortable. And even when they finally could, it took several more years before a black man played quarterback because we weren't comfortable with that either. So many of the same people who used to make that argument, and the many who still do, are the same people who say government should stay out of our lives, but then want government in our bedrooms. I've never understood how they feel comfortable laying claim to both sides of that argument. I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Civil rights activist Audre Lorde said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. We've always been able to recognize them. Some of us accept them. And I want to believe that there will be a day when we do celebrate them. I don't know if that day's here yet. I guess we're about to find out. But when I listen to Michael Sam, I do think it's time to celebrate him now."
There it is.
We should have a round of applause for that.
I know. That's going to, like, it's going to pop in their ears. I can tell by
Oh, yeah, it is.
But, yeah, I couldn't have said it any better myself. So thank you for sharing that clip with us. Ramrod pointed out hypocrisy, pointed out why it is a big deal.
He admitted he's not comfortable, but it's part of their world.
Exactly. I mean, people want to shut out everything that makes them uncomfortable. Just because something makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean that it shouldn't exist.
Right.
There are people from all different walks of life, all around you, with different opinions, different ethnicities, different religions, if they even are religious, different sexual preferences, and be mature enough to deal with it. Stop acting like a damn kid. Right?
Right.
Am I being an asshole?
Yes.
I'm always being an asshole.
Yes.
But I think I'm right here. I mean, you don't get manlier than me and Ramrod. I was in the military.
I was in prison.
He was in prison for 12 years. And we're okay with people being gay.
Yeah, because I was in prison for 12 years.
You have to, you had to be. And I was on some pretty long, you know, deployments and around nothing but dudes, you know. So. Nah, but nothing gay happened that you need to know about. But anyways, what's that guy's name?
Dale Hansen.
From Texas, right?
Yeah.
Conservative Texan.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just fucking snorted a rail. It was fucking pretty big. Made me cough. But yeah, Dale Hansen. He's a commentator, a sports commentator out of Dallas, Texas. So
you can't get any more conservative than Dallas,
yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, and he talks about that too. I first saw him on the Ellen Show because as a person who supports semi-gay, you know, causes, I watch the Ellen. That's how I support gay people. I watch the Ellen Show. Yeah. And, and so, and it's just an awesome show. I like Ellen. But anyway, I'm dying here. But yeah. So he even said, okay, we're going to go ahead and say.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll continue.
It was a pretty big rail, by the way. All right. But no, he, when he was on, go ahead.
I don't know what you're
I'm trying to say it every time I try to say it.
But he was on the Ellen Show and he makes pretty good points there too, right?
Yeah, on the Ellen Show he made good points about being from a conservative state, and you know, even he even told Ellen, like, you know, I don't agree with, you know, that part of your life. However, I do support the fact that you have the right to do what the fuck you want, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was real big of him. You know, he's a white guy.
Old white guy
from Dallas, Texas, very conservative city, yep. In a conservative state. So that was real brave, I guess you could say, of him.
Good for him.
Coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was a fucking big ass rail, dude. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Because sometimes, like, it makes me happy to see that he speaks out like that and is in a way standing up for gay rights. He's pushing the homosexual agenda because sometimes I get a little bitter. I don't know, pessimistic, I guess you could call it, negative. And then I kind of want to judge all people like him, you know, and say, like, they're what's wrong with this country.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for them to go away so that our generation can take over the country and make it the way it's supposed to be, more accepting of people and
progressive,
open-minded. Yeah, more progressive, more forward-thinking. And that will happen. But it isn't all old, rich white people. I always say old, rich white people. It isn't all of them. You know, that there are good ones like him. So, but speaking of idiots who can't handle, they think because something makes them uncomfortable that nobody should have access to it, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Somebody on Twitter sent me an article. Oh. I hope it's real. I hope I'm not being trolled.
Oh, I guess we'll find out.
You didn't investigate it?
And she's at Derpy C. Caballo on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, you're being trolled. No, I'm just kidding.
Anybody
that's
with
a, that's
C.
a trolling
Caballo,
name, man. C. Caballo, that's a trolling name. But she sent me an article. It's titled, Utah Mom Finds Indecent T-Shirts at Store, Buys All of Them. So she saw some T-shirts. I can read it. It's not a long article. Judy Cox of Orem, Utah, was shopping at the mall with her son when she was affronted by T-shirts she considered to be indecent and pornographic. To solve the problem, she bought all the shirts for $567. And there she is.
Dude, oh. You should make T-shirts pornographic in nature, kind of, sort of, mm-hmm. and then send them to that store, and she'll fucking make us rich.
Actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we have a hidden no-return policy that she doesn't know about.
Oh, yeah. The return policy. Yeah,
the shirts are part of the visual line of clothing currently being sold at PacSun. Cox complained, her last name's Cox. That's offensive.
That's fucking,
I mean,
that's bad.
Complained to the store manager, who reported it to her district manager. Cox says she's going to eventually return the shirts and will let the retailer's corporate office figure out what to do with them when I return them on day 59 of a 60-day return policy. PacSun CEO Gary Schoenfeld said in a statement that the company takes pride in the clothes and products it sells. While customer feedback is important to us, we remain committed to the selection of brands and apparel available in our stores. Okay, first of all, the first thing is, your last name's Cox. What are you going to do about that?
I know.
Yeah.
You know, that,
I mean, that's offensive.
That's indecent and offensive.
And pornographic.
Yeah, so why don't you take care of that first, and then you can move on to T-shirts. But yeah. Second of all, there's a picture of one of these T-shirts, and it's really...
It's just a girl with a bra.
In a bra.
You see worse that's on magazines.
You see that in commercials.
Yeah.
You see that, yeah, mm-hmm. everywhere. So... Here's first of all, it's another example of somebody who thinks that anything that makes them uncomfortable should disappear, right? So she's going to deny everyone else access to these shirts because
of her belief,
because they make her uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But what should happen is whoever lives in Orem, what is it, Orem, Utah? If you live in Orem, Utah, please find out the date that this lady is going to return the shirt.
Okay. On the 59th day, she'll be there.
don't beat her up and take them. Don't do that. Don't beat her up and take them. Let her return them. Yeah,
violence is not the answer.
Let her return them. And maybe you don't buy them all yourself, but maybe you have a whole bunch of friends pitch in and you buy them all right in front of her.
Let it's only $567.
Get there right when the store opens and wait for her. Wait there all day until she shows up to return the shirts. And then buy them all right in front of her and go out into the mall and just start handing them out.
Hand them out to young kids, like say like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. Just like roll one into a little like into a cylinder shape and just start throwing them like footballs to little kids everywhere.
Yeah.
Right in front of her. Right in front of her. You didn't even ask her, you want one?
Yeah. And like put them on. Like just put them on over your regular t-shirts and just like wear them in the mall. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be
awesome. Like right in front of her, just put one on.
Put one on.
Like right when you buy them. Just
and if you're a female getting it, like take your shirt off.
And then put that one
on. And then put that one on so that everybody will see you in your bra.
Yeah,
you
know? Especially
but make sure you're 18 at least.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that. If not, just put it over your
shirt. And do it in front of her.
And do it in front of her. She's not very attractive either. I think that's why. I think ugly people are the ones that always have problems with shit like that.
And she was...
I think she would have been hot though back in maybe like... The 60s?
No, 50s,
maybe?
No, more like 1920.
Yeah, maybe a 20.
She's got that old rustic look.
Like me.
She looks like she was in the Victorian, like she was in her prime, Victorian era.
Yeah.
And they were really conservative. You couldn't, the only thing
They had like eight layers of clothes on.
They even wore gloves. Yeah. Like you could only see their head and just the face, really, because they wore hats.
She's not wearing any jewelry or anything.
No. She's in Utah. She's probably Mormon.
She could not. No, because she wouldn't have went into PacSun if she was Mormon. That's another question. What was she doing in PacSun anyway? Like, PacSun has, like, a reputation for, like,
younger.
Oh, she was taking her son, I guess.
Oh, she
was with her son.
Well, that's the point. Like, you should sit down and have a conversation with your son if you have a real big problem with what people are wearing. Because
I see.
Apparently.
She's punishing everybody instead
of. Yeah, she's punishing everybody when it's your son that apparently is the fucking pervert. He's got a problem.
And that's a good point because a lot of people, even with the gay thing, I keep going, I'm circling it back to gay again. No, but even with
this.
I'm starting to really think there's a real big problem
about you and this gay thing. Like,
we'll talk about that off air.
Are you coming?
I'm uncomfortable.
When's the last time y'all have had sex? Has it been a while?
I'm uncomfortable talking about this on air. We'll talk about it off air. Okay, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to talk about it yet.
Is that why you're trying to get me drunk right now?
Do you have the roofies?
No comment.
Mel, do you have the roofies? But it's these people are expecting everyone else to raise their kids. Yeah. You know, they're like, I don't want my kids seeing gay people on TV. And or the football player is supposed to be a role model. No, he's not supposed to be a role model. He's a football player. You should be your kid's role model.
Mm-hmm.
You should be your kid's role model. You should be their mentor. You shouldn't be relying on some freaking 19-year-old kid or however old he is. He's not any older than 22, right? Football player to be your kid's role model. The fuck out of here. These people, even her, she wants PacSun to raise her kid.
Mm-hmm.
PacSun doesn't have to pick the clothes out that she feels comfortable with. They're not raising her damn kid. She's raising her kid. Right?
Yeah.
Moron. Stop.
Yeah, I like PacSun.
I do too. I buy t-shirts there.
Yeah, they got pretty cool t-shirts, yeah. And shorts. Good
yeah, quality.
Swimwear.
Good quality
swimwear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this makes me want to buy from PacSun more.
Yes, it does, actually.
Just like that whole Four Loko craze when it was all over the news and they were saying like people couldn't remember what they did the night before. To me, that was a commercial.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about Four Loko till I started seeing it on the news.
And then he bought them.
And then I started buying them.
Is that when the gay stuff started happening?
Maybe.
I don't know.
He doesn't remember.
I don't remember.
He doesn't remember.
So go buy the shirts.
Yeah.
And
does it actually have the, like the brand or well, of course it's PacSun, but like the, is it like a PacSun shirt or is it like made by somebody else just sold in PacSun? Because we give a shout out to the actual. Oh, it's part of the visual PacSun. Line. Okay, visual line of okay. So go buy the visual line of PacSun shirts at PacSun.
And then for the other side, stop. Expecting everyone else to raise your kids and raise your own kid, you dirtbag. You lazy fuck. And speaking of raising kids, at @Shay_Rollins, his wife's pregnant with a baby girl.
Oh.
So he wants...
Is it his?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
Oh, he never said.
He just said she's pregnant. He didn't say whose it is. And he wants advice on raising a daughter. And all three of us here have daughters. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, we do.
Melissa forgot she had a daughter. Did you hear? She went, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you do.
It's been a while. She has the young, you have the youngest daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good question, Shay, because you have three people here who can all speak from experience.
True.
Now, you're probably more mature than we were when our daughters were
born, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was 16 years old when my daughter was born.
I was 17.
Yeah. I was 21.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, man, that's old. What? Hey, Grandma. Fuck. So, yeah.
You're not representing the Mexican race at all. You should have had her when you were like 13.
So, let's start with... So, you might not be as scared as I was when my baby's mom was pregnant. And I don't know if it worked with the same way for you, Pete, but I was scared shitless because...
Probably because he saw me.
No, actually, that helped because I was like, man, I'm going to be a way better dad.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking loser.
I was like, oh, this is easy. Yeah. But I was like, man, if that guy can raise a kid, I can fucking do it easily, man. But I was scared. I was scared because I felt like... I was a kid, and I might not be ready. You know, I was 17. I was also scared that my daughter would be unhealthy, like something would be wrong with her. You know, that was a big fear. Like, I remember even when her mom was in labor, I remember, like I could not relax until I saw her come out alive. Like, I was freaked out. So there's that. You might be stressed out about that. And you might not be as afraid as I was about not being ready to raise a kid because you're a little... I think he's, like, in his mid-20s. So he's probably more mature, okay, more ready to have a kid than I was. But either way, like, when the kid's born, man, that's, like... It's a crazy feeling. It's like...
I was scared.
You were scared when your kid was born?
Well, she actually had the baby, so yeah. I mean, that was, it's a little bit different from us.
She had the easy job.
But it didn't come with instructions. Like, how was I supposed to
know?
Oh,
yeah.
You push. You just push.
No, after it was out.
Oh yeah. Now, that's weird, because you're like, okay, for the rest of your life,
I'm going home with this, you know.
Yeah, that is scary.
I remember that.
And I remember sleeping. I remember waking up. Like, after she was born... I remember, like, I'd wake up, like, every 3 minutes and check on her. Like, I'd make sure she was okay because I was just worried. Like, you know, they're just a little helpless. They're not that cute when they're first born either. It's not like in the movies where the baby looks all, like...
Perfect round head.
The head's all big. And no, they're going to come out, like, purple and wrinkly. They just got squeezed out of a little tiny hole, man.
Yeah. And they have unless cone the chick's like,
well, not in my ex's case though. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, they come out like all wrinkly, but that'll go away. She'll fill up like a little balloon and then in a few hours it'll look like a cute little baby. But mm-hmm. when it first comes out, don't think that's what it's gonna look like. Cause I was like, oh
yeah.
Oh yeah. Fuck. And
took pictures and videotaped and everything. Yeah, it was fucking badass.
Yeah, we had that
actually
too.
When Sam had his kid, we took beer and drank it in the bathroom. Like,
oh yeah, we did. Yeah, you brought beer. Yeah,
I brought beer to his. I snuck it in McDonald's bags, and we fucking. There was like what, three or four of us inside of the bathroom in the hospital, fucking cheering to his child.
Yeah, or teenagers. Is Shay a teenager?
He's in his 20s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he's still not allowed to
You can't just take a 12-pack of beer in the hospital. So, but we did, you know.
And we weren't 21 yet.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
But there's that. And then there's when the kid gets a little older. I don't know. Like, I really liked having a daughter. Before she was born, I kind of wanted a boy.
I did too.
But I liked having a daughter because I think Me and my daughter are really close. Like, my daughter, we're like best friends when she was little. And probably because I'm not that mature. So, like, we
could get play, along with all the kids.
We could play video games together and stuff like that. And, you know, it's fun. And they're like little dolls, man. Like, you get them, like,
yeah, the girls
cute little
are.
Dresses, and you comb their hair. All, like, I learned how to do her hair and fucking shit like that. Like, it's fun. But
he's lying. He's just playing with dolls all day.
I was like, come on,
Destiny was doing some other shit.
She got a little too old to play with Barbies. And I was like, come on, why don't you play Barbies? And yeah, sure
fucking,
you don't play
it's
Barbies?
It's fucking tea time. Or what the fuck? God,
it's bikini season.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think the daughter's closer to the father. I think typically, yeah.
I think that's true.
Yeah, so that's nice for you. Not really for the mom, but no. She's going to love both of y'all, but she's going to be really close. With you, she's gonna be daddy's girl because that's how daughters are. The other thing with me,
no, I was gonna say when they were first born, like with my daughter, and I think with yours too, when they're newborn and if they're breastfeeding, like that's one of the hardest parts.
See, I should say that since you breastfed? My daughter was breastfeeding,
not Sammy, me.
when she's breastfeeding during that phase, she did kind of hate me. Like when is at about one and a half is when she realized I'm her dad and that she doesn't have to be afraid of me. Like she was scared of me. I couldn't even year when she's crying, I couldn't get her to stop crying. Only her mom could. And wow. So there's that part. But once she got old enough to understand who I was, then we're close.
So like when she was like 9 and she stopped breastfeeding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was like, all right, dad, all right, I'm
and
ready.
Then, and yeah, and then it's hard not to baby him, like with me, like
it's easy now.
You, yeah. It's simple.
Yeah, I want to choke the shit out of mine sometimes.
And
we'll get to that later anyway.
But so there's that raising a kid. It's fun. She's gonna be closer to you. What else?
You want some advice? Some good advice is never treat your kids like your friends. You always want to treat them
really
like your kids. Mm-hmm. Because once you start treating them like your friends, that's when they start running all over you, man.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to tell them no because it's your daughter.
And then they can't believe it. Like,
yeah.
They can't believe it when you tell them they can't do something because you've been true. Like, I thought we're... See, and I haven't had this problem with mine, but...
Yet.
Well, we bump heads sometimes, but I've never treated her like my friend. Like, I've always treated her like she's my daughter, but I've seen that happen where they're best buds and like, the mom and the daughter, the mom's telling her, like, all her business about, like, the mom, me and my boyfriend were, like, night at the club, true. We did this and this. And then the daughter sees you more as a sister, or if you're the dad doing that, she's going to see you more like a brother and not a parent. And so you always got to make sure, like, they know you're the parent. So that is a good point. I think the other thing that seems scary, because everybody will say, like, wait till she starts getting interested in boys. And I don't know, to me, it hasn't been that scary. I don't know. Like,
it hasn't for me neither.
No, and they're like, I'm gonna be, like, waiting on the porch with a shotgun. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's not you. Like, if you raise your kid the right way,
you have nothing to worry about.
No, and you and you have a bond, and you're honest and open with each other, and you trust them. Like, fine. Then she's gonna get a boyfriend one day. Like, like it's gonna happen. It's just gonna happen.
Yeah, my daughter has been with like this guy for like over a year, and I like the guy. He's like fucking cool.
Yeah,
shit.
As long as he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I mean, you're hoping, and I am hoping that they stay together for as long as possible, because that just means that's the less sexual
less
partners that she has. You know what I mean? Like, this is the guy. I hope you stay with him for a very long time. You know what I mean? Like, fuck, marry him. Fuck, I don't give a shit. Like, that's just even more, you know, something to be proud of, because it's like if every 2 or 3 months you're meeting a different guy, well, guess what? Your daughter's a whore. And you know, that's not what you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, be grateful that she has one.
Yeah.
That she's bringing home. That's
it. And if you raise her right and you have the type of relationship where you can talk to each other and all that and you trust each other, And she's a good person. Like my daughter is doing really good in school. She's already taking college courses and stuff like that. Like, she doesn't have a pattern to where I wouldn't trust her judgment. So I trust that when she doesn't have a boyfriend yet, but I trust that when she has a boyfriend, she'll make a good decision. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm not like, just like people, like growing up, or because me and my daughter kind of grew up together because I had her so young. Everyone like scared me that wait till she starts being interested in boys, which she is interested in boys, and wait till it's going to be scary. That's the hard part. It is not. It is not. Unless you're like some crazy drug at your daughter's like seeing you shooting up and bringing in all kinds of partners and stuff. As long as you haven't done anything to kind of screw her head up and you raise her the right way, I mean, she, just let her have a boyfriend whenever she's ready to have a boyfriend. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, she's 9 and she wants to bring somebody home.
I mean, that, yeah, okay, there's, yeah, that's excessive.
There's some warning signs there.
And you'll be protective of her like nobody's business, man. Like, I remember I took my daughter to Chuck E. Cheese when she's like 3, and or maybe a little younger, and I snapped because she was in the skee ball, the balls, yeah, the plastic balls, and some kid, he's like 9, and he starts pegging the shit out of her with balls, and I lost it, like I didn't even know what I was doing, and I went in there. And I hit him with 3 balls, and I said,
"Well, I'd get mad if some dude was fucking
my daughter didn't know
balls
too,
on
scared.
Her too." You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I told him, you know, I said, "Be fucking picking on little girls, you little pussy." And then he goes,
it's the first time you heard that word.
Yeah, and he goes, "I'm gonna go tell my dad." And I said, "Go tell him. He's probably a pussy like you." And then he runs and he goes and gets his dad, right? I was pissed, and I got my daughter out of the balls, and then him and his dad are storming toward me, and then when I saw him, I just start going toward him, and then I'm like, "You got a problem, motherfucker? You're gonna stick up for your son for picking on my daughter?" And right there, they got scared, and then they saw how mad I was, and they stormed, and plus, like, I'm like a foot taller than the dad, which I didn't expect because the kid looked kind of big for a 9-year-old. I'm assuming he's 9. I don't know how old he was actually. Could have been 15. And they storm off. But then after it happened, like, you know, and then my daughter's too young for me to explain to her that I made a mistake. You know, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to be like, you will be really, you'll see. It's a feeling of having to protect somebody you've never felt before. Not even like with your closest homie or your mom. It's nothing like that. Like it's crazy. It's like you're like their guardian angel or something. Like from the day she's born, you're going to become like your whole existence is to protect that kid and to make their life as kind of as easy as possible, you know.
Yeah,
and part of that's protecting them.
Yeah, and then then you get to a certain point where you lose all that, and then your focus is on making sure that they get rich so that you have a very good retirement.
That's why. Yeah.
So you're like, okay, mija, like you got a great job because my 401k sucks, and I'm moving in when I'm retiring. So make sure you fucking do badass or marry somebody badass. One of the two. You know what I'm saying?
Which my daughter is, she like kicks ass in school and all that, and she's a little bookworm and all that. And she wants to be a brain surgeon. That's what she wants to do.
So I'm moving in too then.
Yeah, that's I'm pushing. I'm like, yeah, you can be a brain surgeon, sure. Yeah, because I'm going to benefit from that.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like, so I'm telling her to be the complete opposite of what I was because I didn't study for shit or anything, you know? But I'm like, you have to study all the time. Like, as soon as you get home from, because look, I'm not telling this, but inside my head, I'm thinking, I need you to be a brain surgeon. I need you to do, if not a brain surgeon, I mean, something where you're making a whole shitload of money. Please.
Yeah.
Because if it's not this podcast,
we're fucked.
That keeps me from getting a saves me from getting a job when I graduate from college. You know, it's going to be whatever you do when you graduate from college. So y'all ready to? So basically, Shay, as far as advice, I think I kind of told you what to expect, but I also gave you a little advice. Kind of just don't panic. It's not as hard as you think it is. They make it sound like it's the hardest thing in the world.
It's going to be scary.
It's not really that hard. And you can't be too damn protective. Like, you can't shield them too much, I don't think, because then that's when also, they'll sneak out on you and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
the opposite of what she fucking...
When she gets old enough, if she wants to go to the movies for a little bit, like, with her friends, like, I know a lot of parents are like, they don't... You know those girls growing up whose parents never let them go anywhere?
Me.
Yeah, I used to sneak them out the house.
Exactly. They're the ones that sneak out. They're the ones that...
And get high.
Yeah, you go... You're a young punk like me and Ramrod were, and we're the ones that you don't... Look, when we're teenagers, you didn't want your daughter around me and Ramrod. And those, the ones that are sheltered, they're the ones that sneak out. So you don't want to do that, man. Like, give them a little bit of freedom. Like, if she wants to hang out for a few hours at the mall, and she's like, what? I don't know. When she's old enough to go to the mall and hang out, just let her. Drop her off and go pick her up. But let her, you know? I don't know why parents are like that. Like, some parents don't even let their daughter, like, play out in the front yard or anything. Like, you have to give them some freedom or they're going to sneak the fuck out and do really bad shit that they wouldn't have done if you'd have just allowed them a little freedom.
Oh, man, I could tell you some stories, man.
Yeah.
Of what all them girls...
But let's not scare Shay. Let's not scare him.
I'm just telling you, sharing is caring. That's all I'm saying.
Man, I hope you're not fantasizing about little girl. But yeah,
if your little girl is Jessica Alba, then you know maybe. Are you related to her by any chance?
Who?
Jessica Alba. Oh.
Why would I be related to Jessica Alba?
I'm kind of hoping.
Oh, do you just ask everyone you meet if they're by any chance related to Jessica Alba? Yeah. Well, I think we're going to close it out. We already went over like 20 minutes. What my mandatory time limit is, 45 minutes.
It's whatever.
No, we did go way over the 45 minutes, but that's okay. I think we put a good show together.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll cut me and Melissa out. And then
I will.
Just to make it 45 minutes. So you're good. We're good.
It's just going to sound like me, a 45-minute podcast. I'm going to introduce the clip. But thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to release a bunch of podcasts. I don't know, if Ramrod and Mel want to join me. Of course, I'd love that. But I'm going to do a whole bunch within close proximity of each other. Because we're going to get the fuck back to not just number 3 like we were for a while. We're going to get to number 1.
Let's do it.
Because Pete's tired of working, and I don't want to work. And Mel likes working for some reason because she's weird.
I'm just tired of taking care of you.
Right. She just doesn't like being here all day with you.
I'm going to bleep that out. All right, everyone. We'll see y'all next time. Yeah.